You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As we get closer to summer, boaters are looking forward to going out on one of Idaho's many lakes and rivers. But folks at the Idaho Department of Agriculture spend their summer worrying about quagga and zebra mussels getting into our state. Now, there aren't any of these invasive species in the Gem State yet, partly because officials and inspectors work very hard to keep them out. The Coeur d'Alene Press reported this week that more than 7,000 boats have been checked at inspection stations here in Idaho so far this year. 14 of those boats did have invasive mussels. The Ag Department estimates that if the mussels get into Idaho's waterways, it could cost Idaho $100 million a year in damage and lost revenue. Nick Zerflew is the invasive species manager for the State Department of Agriculture, and he is joining me live in studio. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having us again to share our story. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning, Nick. Tell us what in the world a quagga and a zebra mussel are.
Right, crazy words.
Yeah.
So they're originated from over in the Black and Caspian Sea, over across the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And they originally infested the Great Lakes region in the late 80s. And slowly they've been moving overland, mainly overland transport on watercraft. They attach to watercraft. They move around quite easily in that way. And we've seen them infest the Midwest, say Texas, all the way up. Mm-hmm. And also the lower Colorado River Basin from, say, Lake Powell all the way through Nevada, Arizona, and California. So that's the main goal, is we're trying to prevent these mussels from inhabiting the Pacific Northwest, mainly the Klamath Basin in Idaho.
So what can they do, I guess? Because when I think of like a mussel, I'm like, well, what's a big deal about that?
Yeah, they're so small, right?
Right.
So they are quite small, but they're numerous in numbers. They're quite fierce. So aquatic invasive species are generally not native to the area. So mm-hmm. in this case, they're native to Europe. So when we see a species this aggressive move into a place that they're not native to, they tend to outcompete our native species. So they would have a detrimental effect on the aquatic ecosystem.
Okay.
And then surrounding environment, you can see effects all the way up to, say, grizzly bear and bald eagle, something that would consume fish, because fish consume macroinvertebrates in the water column. The quagga and zebra mussels would have effect on that macroinvertebrate population and other zooplankton out there. So essentially, you're going to see a detrimental effect on the aquatic environment, mm-hmm. as well as human infrastructure, say hydroelectric dams or municipal water systems, factories that pull water out of
reservoirs. Because what do they do exactly? Since they basically don't have a natural enemy because they're not native. So do they just build up and kind of take over? I mean, what happens?
Yeah, so they attach to a substrate, and that substrate can be very broad. It can be, say, an irrigation pipe or the inside of a dam pipe. And so it's the way that they attach that cause a large amount of their impact. And they colonize substrate. So they attach and then they just grow on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially you would take a small 4-inch pipe, for example, ABS pipe, very popular in irrigation systems, and they would colonize the inside of that pipe. So we would have just
clogging
effect,
the pipe,
and we can't move water. And of course, and we know in here in Idaho, especially southern Idaho, we rely heavily on water usage for various ways, including agriculture. And so we're very aggressive on how we try to prevent these mussels from coming into the basin, mainly due to that effect, as well as the aquatic environment.
Okay.
Those other things that we talked about.
So if they got into Idaho's waterways, like let's say, because we're talking about boats because you inspect the boats. So they get into, let's say, you know, Lucky Peak Reservoir, for example. They're not going to stay just in the reservoir.
No, they're quite effective at either moving overland on boats or during their life stage, what we call the veliger life stage. It's a microscopic, you cannot see them in water. The very baby mussel stage of that life cycle, they can move, tumble, drift, if you will, in that water column. So if we put a mussel up at Lucky Peak during the spawning season, which mm-hmm. should kick off here pretty soon, and they would essentially tumble down the Boise River, meet up with the Snake River, go down through Hell's Canyon and out through the Columbia, and we can expect to see mussel infestations throughout the Columbia quite easily that way. They're seeing this in the Colorado River Basin.
Really? Okay.
Moving quite easily downstream, same as the Mississippi, the Ohio, those other river systems, mainly due to inhabiting a reservoir and then moving quite easily through the water current.
And then, so if that were to happen, the issue then would be, I would assume, as we talked about with irrigation, farming, all of that, is this where the cost, because I mentioned that $100 million a year.
Correct.
Of loss.
Yeah, so that's accounting for, it's an economic study that was put on about 10 years ago, so it's a little bit dated now.
So it's more than $100 million a year.
I would argue yes, and that study did not account for surface irrigation agriculture, so the number would greatly be higher.
It would be a lot higher.
A more recent study came out of Washington looking at the Columbia River Basin more specifically, and it was roughly $500 million a year of economic damage impact to the Columbia River Basin. So you'll see Idaho and Oregon, Montana and Washington, as well as Alberta and British Columbia, they're very aggressive. Mm. They take a very aggressive stance on prevention measures, watercraft inspection. We inspect watercraft. They're coming into Idaho. If we find stuff, we properly decontaminate and clean that watercraft prior to launching into the basin. And we network and we talk really well with one another around the surrounding states.
So if you've seen something in one state, like let's say in Washington, they'll contact Idaho and say, hey, we saw this.
Exactly. And it works both ways because we know, especially through our corridors on the interstates, a lot of these traffic is traveling to or through the state of Idaho. Mm. So actually, we're up to around 9,000 watercraft inspection just since that latest media release came out, and up to 15 mussel-fouled watercrafts.
Really?
We got one more just yesterday, and it was in transit through the state.
Okay.
So we always coordinate with our neighboring states if something is coming their way so that they can properly work with that boat owner to mm-hmm. take care of the problem.
I'm speaking with Nick Zerflew. He is the invasive species manager for the State Department of Agriculture, and we're talking about invasive mussels. So here's what's fascinating. I don't own a boat. I don't go to the reservoir that often. But everyone can be impacted by this because of the agricultural issue. I mean, this could affect, as we said, I mean, farming, so produce, things like that. I mean, it doesn't matter if you don't go boating.
Yes, you very much should participate in the program, even if you don't own a boat. We know that watercraft in general, they're very easily transport aquatic invasive species. That's been known for years. And so we target that watercraft in general. This can be anything from a large construction barge to a small stand-up paddleboard. Fishing waders. It's really anything. And anybody trailing in watercraft has to stop at the inspection stations, regardless of the size or shape or motorized, non-motorized watercraft. So, but really the impacts would be to everybody, whether you eat food or you use electricity from hydroelectric systems, whether you use municipal water systems at some point in time. So you're going to see some impacts. And generally that impact is passed on to the consumer. We've seen this in other industries as well.
Okay, so talk to me about the inspection points, because as you said, the one you found yesterday was traveling through, so it wasn't like at a boat dock launch or something like that.
Correct. So Idaho, what we've done, we strategically place inspection stations at the borders coming into the state. Idaho is one of the first states to take that strategy. And other Western states and Pacific Northwest states have taken that on as well. Mainly because there are so many boat launches in Idaho, it wouldn't mm-hmm. be physically
sound. Oh, you couldn't do that. Yeah.
To be set up at every boat ramp 24/7. So we push those resources out to the borders, mainly because Idaho, through our surveying strategy and our effort surveying, we have never seen quagga or zebra mussels in the state. So we're still definitely in prevention mode, and we should really embrace that as mm-hmm. being a good thing. We should always try to keep them out of the state of Idaho. And to do that, we push the inspection stations out to the border, strategically place them at the main corridors that we see high-risk traffic coming from. I'm talking about I-84 at Cottrell, Highway 93 at Jackpot, I-15 at Malad. These three stations are critical for inspecting watercraft mm-hmm. coming from the lower Colorado River Basin.
Okay, and where they've already seen this invasion.
Like Lake Powell, Lake Mead, Lake Havasu, Pleasant, Mojave. We always see mussels coming from those areas every year.
So then talk to me about what you mentioned, that it's even non-motorized. I mean, you mentioned paddle boards. So mm-hmm. even if you have a paddle board, because this is a growing sport in Idaho, do those have to be inspected at the border as well?
Definitely. Anybody trailing in a watercraft of any type has to pull in and get an inspection. Really, it's quick and easy. It's generally 3 to 5 minutes, and we get you on the road. We ask you some basic questions about your watercraft more specifically, and then we give you a receipt for inspection, and away you mm-hmm. go.
But you also clean it, right? Or what happens then?
If needed. So if we see a high-risk watercraft coming from, say, Lake Powell or Lake Mead, we'll request a hot wash at that time. and all that is just done through triage and how, you know, what, where the boat's coming from, where it's going, how long it's been out of the water. All that kind of gets into a decision on what the inspector does at that point. But we have seen mussel-infested kayaks, non-motorized users, river rafters. We've seen a little bit of everything. Clear up to recreational boaters, pontoon boats, wakeboard boats, large construction barges, large sailboats and yachts. Really, it's anything. Anything that comes in contact with the water could potentially be moving anything, any aquatic invasive species. Not just quagga zebra mussels, but we can be talking about fish pathogens or aquatic plants or other various snails. You know, you name it, stuff that we don't want to move around can easily be moved around on anything water-related. Some simple steps that the boat owner
right.
can take
yeah.
is just properly clean, draining, and drying their watercraft. It's so effective. It's empowering the user, the recreational user, to do this on their own. And I'll say that the Idaho citizens are more than willing and capable and always passionate about doing that. They're really our first line of defense, right? When they're pulling out of a water body properly, taking a little bit of time, making it part of your routine to clean all the debris, any organic material, sediment, aquatic plants, obviously any mussels, remove them, drain all the compartments. So your live well, your bilge, your ballast, pull your boat plug, lower your outdrive, drain everything out, and then open all the hatches and allow that watercraft to thoroughly dry for several days. Before you go to a next water body right. or definitely a next watershed basin, that's very effective. And that's something that the Idaho boat owner can do. That's something that really anybody can do.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking to us about this and really educating us on the effect of these invasive species if they get into Idaho. My guest today, Nick Zerflu, he is the invasive species manager for the State Department of Agriculture. We've been talking about keeping invasive mussels out of Idaho. You're going to have a busy summer.
We are. We're ramping up for it. We're ready.
I want to thank you again. Up next, I'll look at a movie getting ready to film here in Idaho and what makes it so unique. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.